The Lord has a form of the most unlimitedly attractive young child. Why should you deny that? Any little beauty that you see in this world is just a perverted reflection of the beauty in the spiritual world. And Krishna is the source of all the beauty in the spiritual world. So in this material world, people are attracted to little babies. They have that propensity, they have that way of behaving because they're part of Krishna. Krishna can be the most attractive young child. Bal Gopal, the young child cowherd boy. Because some devotees want to love Krishna that way. So he allows them to. Now today, we're going to focus on the second verse of the Dhanadharastik. Runantam bohuvanekra yugmam rajantam karam bhoja yugmena satanka netvam. This gives you a beautiful picture of the Supreme Lord Krishna frightened, showing fear. Now you should think, how can this be? The Supreme Lord fearful, afraid? In understanding this pastime, this lila, your depth of knowledge of the science of God is tested. Crying again and again. Little Krishna is rubbing his eyes. The tears are running down his face, smearing the mascara that is around his eyes. His mother would decorate his eyes with black mascara, but his tears are washing all that away. He's rubbing his eyes with his two lotus hands. The lotus, as you know, is the most beautiful thing in the material world. So Krishna's beauty of his body is compared to lotus flowers. So with his lotus hands, he's rubbing his eyes as tears come out of his eyes. Muhuswasa kampa chire kanka kanta. He's sobbing. He's breathing quickly. And his whole body is shaking. And around his neck are pearl necklaces. They're also shaking. The neck of the Lord is marked with three lines. And also around his neck are pearl necklaces. And these necklaces, they're shaking because his body is shaking out of fear. Stitta gaivam damodaram bhakti bhajam. Bhakti bhajam. The Lord is actually bound not by Mother Yashoda's rope, but by his devotee's love, by her bhakti, by her love and devotion. So yesterday we explained how Krishna got himself in this predicament of being chastised by his mother. She was nursing him with great affection. Krishna had been sleeping in another room. And Mother Yashoda was churning. Milk products. Making butter. And Krishna woke up. He was hungry. He wanted her to breastfeed him. And so he came into the room where she was churning, and he grabbed the churning rod to stop her, indicating to her that he wanted to be fed. Mother Yashoda appreciated Krishna's cleverness. Oh, my little boy, look how clever he is. He's grabbed a hold of the churning rod and stopped me from churning the yogurt into butter because he wants to be fed. So then she picked little Krishna up, put him on her lap, and began to feed him. While she's feeding him, she's staring into his unlimitedly beautiful face. This is the special vision of Mother Yashoda. She can feed Krishna and stare into his beautiful face. But then, something on the stove, some milk on the stove began to boil, and Mother Yashoda had to put Krishna down and go tend to this milk that was boiling over on the stove. And so Krishna became angry. And his mother was neglecting him. Even though the milk boiling on the stove was also for Krishna's pleasure. Everything in Mother Yashoda's house is for Krishna's pleasure. So it's not that she's neglecting Krishna, because everything, there's nothing in her life except for Krishna. But Krishna wants to play being angry. So he took a piece of stone and he broke the butter pot that his mother was churning. And then he left that room and he went to where more milk products were stored hanging from the ceiling. He climbed on top of a wooden mortar for grinding spices. And he got that butter down and began to feed it to the monkeys. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda, she saw, when she returned from the stove, she saw this broken butter pot. She immediately knew, Krishna has done this. Where is he? So yesterday, last time, we described how she tracked Krishna down. Vrindavan detective work. How does she track Krishna down? Looking on the floor at the butter smeared footprints. That's how she tracked him down. Investigative work. And she also heard Krishna's ankle bells. So she followed the sight of the butter smeared footprints. She heard the sound of the ankle bells on Krishna's feet. But she was careful. She wanted to catch Krishna in the act of doing his mischief. But Krishna was also careful. While he's feeding butter to the monkeys, he's looking over each shoulder. So Mother Yashoda is approaching with a stick in her hand. And Krishna sees her coming. He starts to run. And she starts to run after him. Now just try to understand the paradoxes in this situation. First of all, you have the Lord, who is Om Purnam, perfect and complete. Yet he's seemingly dissatisfied. It seems that he wants something. He wants attention from his mother. The Lord has no want. He has nothing missing. Yet he seems to be hungry. He wants his mother to feed him. The Lord is the proprietor of unlimited material universes, and he's the proprietor of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, he's served by countless Lakshmis, goddesses of fortune. Yet, that supreme wealthy person is stealing butter? These are contradictions that you should meditate upon. And by thinking about these contradictions, you'll advance in Krishna consciousness, love of God. And then, fear itself is afraid of Krishna. But here you see Krishna afraid of Mother Yashoda. What's going on? Even Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, is afraid of Krishna. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Yamaraj tells his Yamadutas, his messengers, don't go near any devotees of Krishna. Don't bother them. So Yamaraj is even afraid of Krishna's devotees, but to speak of Krishna. Yet, that same Krishna, whom everyone is afraid of, he's afraid of Mother Yashoda. He's afraid of his mother, who's chasing after him with a stick in her hand. These are contradictions you should meditate upon. When she catches Krishna, that's the subject of today's verse, Rudantam Mohornetra Yugmam Rajantam Karam Bhoja Yugmena Satantanetra. She grabs his left hand with one of her hands, and she's got the stick in the other. So Krishna's shaking and crying, and with his other hand, he's rubbing his eyes. He's putting on a good show. He's the Supreme Lord acting as the most attractive, perfect child. So like a clever child, he knows, in order to get Mother Yashoda to put her stick down, I really got to be afraid. I got to show her I'm fearful. And then her heart will soften. So Krishna really gets into it. He makes his body shake. He's sobbing. Because he wants her to put down the stick. So what does Mother Yashoda think? If you're so frightened by me with my stick, then why did you do that? Why are you always stealing butter? And Krishna saying, I won't do it again, I won't do it again, just put your stick down. So Mother Yashoda began to reflect on some parental psychology in bringing up children. She began to think, it's not so good that the child becomes so afraid of me. I don't want him growing up with any complexities, psychological complexities. So she put the stick down. But still, she was thinking, this child is so restless, he may just run out into the forest. I'm going to bind him, tie him up, not so much as a punishment, but just to keep him from running off here and there. So today, please fix that image in your mind of Krishna shaking in fear, one of his hands held by Mother Yashoda, the other hand he's rubbing his eyes, tears are washing the mascara down his face, is shaking, his pearl necklace around his neck is shaking. He's breathing quickly. Mother Yashoda is there with the stick in her other hand. But he does get her to put down the stick. He convinces her that he's very afraid. But now she wants to bind him. As we learn in the last line of this prayer, Stitagraivam Damodaram Bhakti Bhattam. The Lord is bound by bhakti, not exactly by a rope. That is the lesson of this leela, this pastime. So, Mother Yashoda goes in the house and she gets a rope. Now, Krishna's waist is very small, he's just a little boy. Yeah. He's in that form of little boy in order to give pleasure to those who want to love him as little boy. Materially, though, you can't measure Krishna. God is immeasurable. God has no front, no back, no side. So it's going to be very interesting what happens. Mother Yashoda is going to try to bind someone who cannot be measured. How is she going to get the rope around Krishna? And Krishna has no beginning or end, no front or back. So she puts the rope around Krishna, and it's short by two fingers. She can't tie the knot. She goes and gets another rope and joins two ropes together. Still, she can't get the ropes around Krishna. They're two fingers short. Again and again, she gets another rope and joins. Again and again, two fingers short. She joins so many ropes together now, and still she can't get the rope, all these ropes tied together around Krishna's waist. What is Krishna thinking? I don't want to be bound. I want to go play with my friends and steal butter. I don't want you binding me. So Mother Yashoda, she's getting rope after rope for her house and tying them together, and still she can't get the ropes around Krishna's waist. The friends of Mother Yashoda, the older gopi ladies of Vrindavan, they're watching and they're smiling. Oh, this child always does unusual things. No one in Vrindavan thinks Krishna is God, and Krishna doesn't want them to think he's God, because that will ruin the pleasure. Krishna doesn't want awe and reverence in Vrindavan. He wants spontaneous love. It's more relishable. So Mother Yashoda and the other elderly gopis, cowherd ladies, they just think Krishna is the most beautiful child, the most attractive child. He does very special things. And here, once again, he's doing something special. So the other gopi ladies, they are telling Mother Yashoda, give up, give up. This child cannot be bound. There's something special about him. And what is Mother Yashoda thinking? He's my child. I'm going to discipline him. I will not give up. I will stay here all day and tie ropes. I will not give up. I will raise my child properly. So she's working so hard trying to bind Krishna. Beads of perspiration on her face. The flowers are falling from her hair. Then Krishna sees her determination, her bhakti nishtha, her great faith and determination. She's serving Krishna. She's thinking, unless I raise Krishna properly, he'll have trouble. I've got to take care of him. He's dependent on me. Just see how sweet this vatsalya ras, or parental love of God, is. The devotee in that kind of relationship with the Lord is thinking, I have to maintain the Lord. I have to protect Krishna. Otherwise, what will become of him? So Mother Yashoda is thinking like that. It's my responsibility to protect this child. I'm going to bind him so he doesn't run off into the forest and get in trouble. So Krishna then begins to want to accept her devotion. Even though he can't be bound, he can't be measured, he can't get a rope around Krishna. Krishna cannot be bound by the whole universe. So how can he be bound by a rope within the universe? He can't be bound by the universe itself. Krishna binds everyone with the modes of material nature, the gunas. Guna means rope. Sattva guna, Raja guna, Tama guna. Everyone in material existence is bound by the ropes of the gunas. Krishna's not bound. So then why is he Damodar? Why is he the Lord with a rope around his belly? He agreed to be bound by his devotee's love. He voluntarily agreed to do that. In this way you can see that pure love is the most powerful thing. Even Krishna can choose to come under the influence of pure love. So people say God is love, but they don't know the full meaning of that. In order to understand that God is love, you have to understand the relationship of the Lord with his devotees. It is not that God simply sends his son to be crucified. Much more important than that is that God will exchange love with his devotees as the perfect child, or the perfect lover, or the perfect friend. That is most important. These are the activities of the Supreme Lord, exchanging love with his devotees. The Lord considers these activities to be so much more important than creating a universe. Maintaining the universe, destroying the universe. The most important thing for the Supreme Lord is having loving exchanges with the devotees. Those loving exchanges are composed of pure spiritual energy. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. There's not a drop of any material in Krishna's relationships with his devotees. So Krishna agreed to be conquered by Mother Yashoda's love. This characteristic of the Lord is known in Sanskrit as Vrijavashyata. He agrees to come under the control of his devotees' love. He chooses to do that. So Krishna saw Mother Yashoda's determination to care for him. And so he agreed, all right. Unless I agree, you cannot bind me, but now I agree. So Mother Yashoda bound him to a wooden mortar for grinding spices. This pastime, unless you are a devotee, is difficult to understand. If you think that Krishna is an ordinary person, even if you think, if you're from India, you think Krishna's a demigod, you have missed the whole point of this pastime. You cannot understand it. This pastime only has value if you understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who voluntarily agrees to come under the control of his devotee's love, and who acts in a reciprocating relationship with his devotees. Some devotees want to love Krishna as their son, so Krishna becomes the perfect son, the perfect child. If any of you are mothers here, you know that children don't remain children, they grow up. They become teenagers. And then that same child that was so adorable now becomes a teenager, and you just, oh no. You pull your hair. But Krishna, eternally, he can give his parents pleasure as the most beautiful child. The young cow, a little cowherd boy. So what is this thing that Krishna chooses to be controlled by? It is pure devotion, pure bhakti. Even Lord Brahma, even Lord Shiva, even Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, they cannot get this fortune, this great fortune that Mother Yashoda had. Brahma and Shiva, they're devotees, of course, but they have a bit of a controlling nature, Ishwar Bhava. And they have some prestige for being cosmic controllers. So they can't get the sweetness that the residents of Vrindavan have. The simple residents of Vrindavan, their agricultural village. They can't. Brahma and Shiva can't get what they have. That's why Lord Brahma prays in Bhagavatam, "Let me be born as a blade of grass in Vrindavan. If I cannot be born as a blade of grass in Vrindavan, let me be born as a blade of grass outside of Vrindavan." Because then, when the residents of Vrindavan, the Brijvasis, walk outside of Vrindavan, then they'll step on me and I'll get the dust from their feet. So we need a lot of preparation in spiritual knowledge to understand the fullness of this pastime, this Damodarli. Otherwise you'll just think, oh, it's a charming Indian folklore, charming Indian mythology. Now only the devotee can understand the full depths of this pastime. The Supreme Lord, unlimited in power, agrees to come under the control of his devotee, captured by the devotee's love. So every night you can sing this song and meditate on this lila, this pastime. You can read about it every night in Krishna book. Chapter 9. And year after year, you'll enter deeper and deeper into the sweetness. So this pastime, this Damodar Lila, is what makes this Madhya Kartika so special. Stithagrivam Damodaram Bhakti Bhajam. The Lord is bound by his devotee's love, not exactly by the rope. Are there any questions?
Is this show here, is it just a show, or he really hears it?
It's a show.
So,
didn't you make a show of fear when you were a little kid?
I don't remember.
You knew. If you cry, then your mother would not punish you. Who has children here? So. Don't you remember your children? They knew how to cry so that they would get their own way?
She's her mother.
Huh?
She's her mother.
Didn't she do this when she was little?
Sometimes.
Yeah. So, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knows how to be the perfect child. What is the perfect child? The perfect child is one who knows how to unlimitedly capture the love of the parents. That's the perfect child. Krishna knows how to do that. The real reason why he does his mischief in the village of Vrindavan is so everyone will have something to talk about. Krishna did this, Krishna did that. He's creating Krishna Katha, talks about Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan, the adults, they know this. But they cannot stop from talking about Krishna. They come to Mother Yashoda and they accuse, your son did this, your son did that. He comes into our house, he steals butter, he pinches our babies, makes them cry. If he can't do that, then if he sees we have a nice clean floor, he passes stool and urine on the floor. They just, Krishna did this, Krishna did that. They're just talking about Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda calls Krishna. If you hear what they're saying, Krishna just looks very innocent. Then everyone looks at Krishna's beautiful face and forgets about wanting that he's punished. So that's the perfect child. How the child who attracts constant love. Of course, Krishna knows not only how to be the perfect child, but how to be the perfect lover too. Those are more confidential pastimes, more confidential deals. Krishna can be the perfect teenage lover. So this knowledge is far beyond understanding God as the creator, maintainer of the universe, and destroyer of the universe. Far beyond. The more you hear about Krishna, the more your heart becomes purified. In your heart, you have longings for perfect relationships. Men and women, they often want to have a child because there's someone to reciprocate with them. Especially the ladies want to have a child they can pour their heart's love into. They're looking for that perfect relationship, a parental love for the child. People have romance because they're looking for the perfect relationship, male-female relationship. People have friends because they're looking for a perfect friendship. But you'll only find these perfect relationships with Krishna. To show you that, he demonstrates his pastimes. To attract your attention. Look, look, you want a perfect son? Here I am. You want a perfect lover? Here I am. You want a perfect friend? Here I am. And then when the devotee's love becomes so pure, and Krishna trusts that devotee, then Krishna will agree to come under the control of that devotee's love. That's the power of pure bhakti, pure devotion. So these are confidential truths of bhakti yoga. And this month, the confidential truth of Krishna's being bound by Mother Yashoda, coming under the control of his mother's love, is glorified this month especially. And the more you think of this pastime, the more your heart will become cleansed and pure. What are the dirty things in the heart? The dirty things in the heart are the desire for material enjoyment. It's a fever. It's a disease condition. Actually, there's nothing innocent about our desire to enjoy material nature. It is a perversion. No one likes to think of themselves as a pervert. But when you have the desire for material enjoyment, you are a pervert. What is the word in German for pearl?
Gewehr.
Hmm?
Gewehr.
The noun for it. Hmm? So no one wants to be called that. If someone calls that, you'd be very angry. But the fact is, if you have the desire for material enjoyment, then you are that. You are. But by hearing Krishna's activities, his pure activities with his devotees, by hearing how Krishna's devotees have pure love for him, your heart becomes cleansed of the desire for material enjoyment. In Heidelberg, we were speaking on Sunday about how the real career goal in life is to understand Krishna. If you are a serious career person, you're supposed to have a goal. The real goal of your life is to understand Krishna. But by your understanding Krishna, you get out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. Now, what other person do you know that if you try to understand that person, you'll get such a reward? No. You try to understand any ordinary, limited person, what will be your reward? We were speaking in Heidelberg how everyone wants to be understood by someone else. Isn't that the hope when you have a relationship of any type? Friendly relationship, romantic relationship, parental relationship. You want to be understood. Parents want their children to understand them. Isn't it so? Those of you who are parents, you want your child to understand you. You want her to understand you care for her. You're doing what's best for her. And the children want to be understood by the parents. I'm a teenager. I have to do wild things. Were you a teenager? Yes. The teenagers are always thinking, oh, parents don't understand. Right? And then, you want your friends to understand you. That's why you have friends, right? You can call them on the telephone. Oh, this happened to me, that happened to me, and immediately the friend understands, right? Yes. Everyone wants to have friends. And then, of course, in romantic relationships, you expect that the romantic partner understands you. Although the fact is, men and women rarely understand each other. But anyway, everyone is hoping for that. Many married men, they have told me, both who are Krishna conscious and not, they told me that any man who says he understands his wife is lying.
So, and nothing about the reverse. What about the reverse, Tom?
Yeah,
much more intuition. Thank you,
listener,
understanding
everything.
So, and the point is that everyone wants to be understood. You feel horrible if no one understands you. You feel horrible. No one understands me. You ever remember what that felt like? Yes, a teenager, you thought, no one understands me. Only my friends. Right? Mother doesn't understand anymore. Right? She means well, but she just doesn't understand. And the mother's thinking, oh, what happened to my baby girl who I understood so much? I don't understand what she's doing now. Oh, the music she listens to, and you listen to rap music, I can understand. You do that? You listen to rap music?
No, much longer. She's saying this.
But you know what I mean. So, everyone hates not to be understood. But our real goal is to understand Krishna. That is the goal of our life. But to understand Krishna requires qualification. To begin to understand Krishna requires qualification. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yesham to antipatam bhavam jananam punyakaram. Only those who have made a complete stop to sinful activity can understand me. Jananam punyakaram. Only those who have a stock of pious activity, they are eligible to understand me. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. They're free from the duality of illusion. Bhajante mam jitavrata. Those kind of persons can engage in devotional service with determination. By engaging in devotional service with determination, you can understand Krishna. But in order to engage in devotional service with determination, you have to become free of sinful activity. In other words, you have to change your lifestyle. So please remember this. What is your real goal in life? You may be a software engineer or IT specialist. You're an IT specialist too.
No. I'm doing automation and robotics.
Yes. Cutting edge for the future, right? until that occupation becomes saturated just like IT, right? Any others? IT specialist?
No, I'm working on material science.
Material science, okay.
Alright. I'm just classing. Same report.
Alright. Any other IT specialist? Yes, I know. So that is your occupation, but your goal is to understand Krishna. One in Australia, I'm based in Australia and New Zealand. In Australia, one devotee who works in IT, information technology, he was telling, he works for IBM, so he was telling me how a big managemental guru for IBM came to Australia to fire up the staff there. And so all the staff was called in for a big lecture, I think 200 IT specialists. And then the management guru, he's walking up and down the aisle, say, what are the kind of people we want? We want the kind of person who, as soon as you wake up, you start thinking about your job. That is who we want to work for IBM. How many of you are like that? As soon as you open your eyes, the more you're thinking about your job. That's who we want. Those are the kind of persons who will stay with this company. And what kind of person does Krishna want? As soon as you open your eyes, you're thinking, I need to understand Krishna. even before you open your eyes, even before you wake up, you're dreaming about understanding Krishna. So material life requires absorption, and spiritual life requires absorption. You have to become absorbed. That is real yoga, to become absorbed in understanding Krishna. Then your heart becomes cleansed. Then you can understand Krishna's activities. And a glass of water. Any questions? You can understand as much as possible, yes? Krishna is unlimited, but it's your job to understand Krishna as much as possible. You cannot say that you don't have the nature to understand someone. You do.
Yeah, but he is good, so I can understand him completely.
But as far as possible,
yeah, of course, I
can. Eternally, you're trying to understand Krishna. You have never tried to understand anyone in your life?
But there are some things that I cannot understand so anymore. I cannot understand everything unless Krishna.
Still, my point is you have the propensity to try and understand someone.
Yeah, I try.
So the best person to understand is Krishna. Of course, in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, the Vrijvasis, are beyond understanding Krishna. They're just loving Krishna. But to get to that stage, first you have to try to understand Krishna. We were explaining yesterday in Copeland that Mother Yashoda is not trying to understand Krishna. She's just trying to protect him, feed him. She's absorbed in maternal love for Krishna. But first you have to try to understand Krishna, and then you'll get to the point of spontaneous love. Some other questions? All right, we'll do a little worship then. We play harmonium nicely.